Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson. And once again, I would like to welcome you to When He Speaks Erotica from a Man's Perspective. This podcast, for everybody who's new that's listening, is about sex, romance, relationships, shacking, fucking, and everything under the umbrella. Not an expert, just someone who likes to talk about relationships from a man's perspective. Not knocking any woman who does it, but I just don't understand how, if you're a woman, you can tell how a man's supposed to be in the bedroom. I mean, yeah, you know, most women have been with a few men and they know certain things. But when it comes down to really having a conversation or really understanding the way a man moves, the only person who could tell you is another man. So this is why I chose to do this podcast. Been doing it for a minute, and it's not all about money and numbers for me. It's about doing something that I enjoy doing, you know. Not a passion, but it is something that I feel I'm good at talking about. So I've chosen to do this. But anyway, tonight's topic is when a man moves in with a woman, does he lose his status as a king of his castle? So please do me a favor, sit back and relax, and I'll be right back with the question of the night. All right, we are back with the question of tonight. So, let me ask you this. Are you feeling frisky? If so, then try these herbs. They can help. Tonight I'm going to discuss the benefits of certain herbs in regards to sexual arousal and the libido. These herbs discussed are going to be horny goat weed, diamina, ginkgo, along with a host of others. Let me say that horny goat weed works. I can give it a strong recommendation. Hands down, one of the best herbs I've ever tried. As far as the others, if I've tried them, it's been like in some type of energy drink that I may have drank, you know. But other than that, I can't think of any other herb that I've tried outside of horny goat. I mean, I've actually had the herb, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I think each herb has its own different, you know, benefit, ranging from increasing, your blood circulation to your genitals, to improving nerve functions. It's been said that using these herbs can help prove sexual satisfaction. In recent years, there's been a growing trend of herbal supplements being used to increase sexual desires. These supplements can be found in various forms, including pills, lotions, and oils. Some of the most well-known ingredients in these products are ginger, cinnamon, and licorice. Studies have shown that using these herbs can increase sexual desires and arousal. At any given time, I'm going to give you a few remedies that has been used to treat sexual dysfunction for centuries. Like I said, the first one is ginkgo. This herb has been shown to improve blood circulation and increase the libido. Studies have found that this herb can be effective in treating erectile dysfunction and other forms of sexual dysfunction. Maca. This Peruvian Herb is known as a natural Viagra. It starts to increase the libido and energy levels. I was watching this show. What was the name of the show? I can't remember. But this older gentleman, he had a maca smoothie. And his kids were joking, like, why is Pops drinking this? And the older brother said, because he's trying to have a baby at 70 years old. Now, I haven't had an opportunity to do any research on how strong and potent this herb is. But just from seeing that show, and I think I've heard a couple of people speak on this particular herb, that it does work. It's very effective. So if there's any older gentleman who's still, you know, out there want to see if he still got it, go ahead and get you a maca smoothie. Or ladies, if your man is falling a little short, or you know the pen is out of ink, and you might want to add a little maca to his smoothie. The Peruvian root vegetable that has been shown to improve sexual function in both men and women, and start to work by increasing the body's production of hormones such as testosterone and estrogen, which can improve sexual functions. Additionally, it is rich in source of vitamins and minerals, which can help boost overall health and validity. While most research is needed to confirm the effect of maca as a treatment for sexual dysfunction, early evidence suggests that it may be beneficial for both men and women. So ladies, if you feel a little sluggish and you want to add a little to your game, then you might need to make you a maca milkshake. I mean, not milkshake, but smoothie also. Milkshake, either one. You know. The next one is tribulus. This herbal remedy has been used to treat sexual dysfunction for centuries. One such remedy is this remedy is a plant that's been used in traditional Chinese medicine to improve sexual function. Studies have shown that the herb increases the libido and improves sexual function in men with erectile dysfunction. Additionally, the plant may have increased improved sperm quality. While more research is needed to confirm these benefits, it appears to be a promising natural treatment for sexual dysfunction. Damina. A herbal remedy that has been used to treat sexual dysfunction for centuries also. It's a shrub that grows in Mexico, part of Central America. It has been used as an aphrodisiac for centuries. Research suggests that this herb may improve sexual function by increasing blood flow to the genitals. However, more research is needed to confirm these findings. Horny goat meat. the name has always been funny to me, because when I first heard it, I'm not gonna lie, I was green as fuck. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking, I'm thinking, and there's a goat. And there's a goat walking around. A goat walking around horny, smoking weed. I swear, oh my children. When I first heard, I think, I'm not gonna lie, either I was nice as far as drinking, or I might have been smoking, but someone said, I got some horny goat weed for you. And I'm like, what the fuck is horny goat weed? I'm you know, I guess my buzz kicked in, like, is it a goat walking around?
of the joint.
Man, that shit. Whew, it's been funny for years. This had to have been back in the, what, late 80s? I think we was, I was in Saudi Arabia, or we was going to Saudi Arabia. We went to Saudi Arabia in 90. So it was around the late 80s, early 90s when I heard of Honey Goldie, I believe. Yeah. And to it had to have been when I was in the Navy because I wasn't smoking it. So I think I was drunk when I heard it. Anyway, I heard that shit and I was on the floor crying. Because, you know, people like, what? You really think a goat is walking around smoking? A horny goat is walking around? What do you mean? Okay. Horny goat weed has been used to treat a variety of sexual issues, including erectile dysfunction and low libido. The herb is thought to work by increasing blood flow to the genitals as well. And it's a natural aphrodisiac, which may help increase desires. While more research is needed, there is some evidence that the horny goat weed may be effective in treating sexual dysfunction. So, a disclaimer, if you are considering using any of these herbs for sexual dysfunction, speak with your doctor first. Do not listen to this podcast and go get you some horny goat weed and that shit fuck you up. You know what I'm saying? Because certain stuff, you know, especially if you have certain issues such as a weak heart or you have high blood pressure, you may want to be a little skeptical about using certain things. Because your body, you know your body. You know what I'm saying? You know what's good for you and what's not good for you. So if you're not sure, talk with your doctor. Please. To wrap this up, there are many herbs that can increase libido. If you're looking to spice up your sex life, and consider using some of these herbs. But also talk with your doctor before you use them. Not only are they effective, but they are also safe and natural. So what are you waiting for? Try these herbs today, enjoy, and improve sexual health and satisfaction. So yeah, just be careful, you know, because short term, it's okay. But if you use them, continuously and you know that it may not be good for you if you're, you know, taking certain pills, if you have a certain condition, then you may be a little leery of using it. So make sure you speak to someone before you take anything that you're trying to help in the bedroom. So on that note, I'm going to go ahead and be right back with the topic. All right, we are back, and we are back with the topic for tonight. And my topic is, when a man moves in with a woman, does he lose his status as king of his castle? And honestly, I have to answer both yes and no. I've seen guys who have given up on working in the workforce and, you know, for whatever reason, they tie and they just kind of like want to chill. You know, they want to not be on that grind where they have to hit somebody's time clock and go and listen to someone tell them what to do, or, you know, be in a situation where that's not good for them health-wise or mentally or emotionally. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you've been working for years, like since you've been in your teens, and you're like 45, 50 years old. That's what, 40 plus years of working? Yeah, it gets old. Everybody don't feel that. Everybody, Some people can work till they 60 or 70. Salute. I definitely salute that. But some people, that's not their grind. And if you're in a relationship, if you have a woman who understands that and who's willing to let a man just kind of like chill or take a break or find himself, then guess what? That man's in a good relationship, because a lot of women are not going to defer to a man and let him say, hey, I need a break. Hold it down for me while I, you know, take care of the kids and make sure they eat. You know, you got a meal and the house is clean. And you, you know, hold it down on the workforce side of the game. Defer is a strong word. I think that a lot of women today, no, they don't have it. And that's just my personal opinion. Whereas my great-grandmother and my grandmother, they probably wouldn't have to deal with that, because my grandfather and great-grandfather were workers. You know what I'm saying? They didn't mind getting up and turning and burning to make a dollar. So my grandmother and great-grandmother wouldn't have to have had to worry about that. But in case they did, I think they would have been okay. You know what I'm saying? But now, if you bring that up, are you crazy? The fuck you mean you're not going to work? What we going to do? How these bills going to play? Blah, 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 blah. Man, hear that shit. Man, let me go back out here and go back to work. Shit, because I'm getting more peace at work than I'm getting at home. And a lot of times it's like that because the way some women are conditioned to think. A lot of women don't have it or haven't been brought along to understand that men get tired. Men go through stuff. Men are human just like everybody else. Not all men will feel this way, but you have some who feel like they want to take a break, or feel like, you know, I need to chill for a while. And if it means going home and holding it down with my girl, go out there and support, then that's what that means. But there's a lot of branches to this topic. You know what I'm saying? And my thing is, I found that sometimes when I'm talking, I'll go and try to cover every branch and kind of like forget or not really stick to what I'm talking about. So now I'm learning. The more I do the podcast, the more I learn to stick to the notes, stick to the bullet points, stick to, you know, if I got something to say outside of my outline, then I'm going to keep it at a bare minimum and get back to my point. When it comes to a man moving in with a woman, in many cases, women may actually defer to a man's wishes to allow him to maintain his role as head of the household if he's not working. However, there are some women who will take a more dominant role and be like, if I'm the breadwinner, then guess what? I'm the head person in charge of this house. Now, sometimes that works, and sometimes that's like fuel to a fight. And it depends, like I said, on the person's dynamics or the situation or whatever they decide is best for their situation. Then that's the route they're going to go. Who does the housework? A study found when conducted that couples, if they sit down and talk about housework or chores or whatever, they come to an understanding that, okay, we both going to share in the housework, the chores. Meaning that, okay, and it's more like a traditional thing. Men are going to be outside cutting grass. They're going to change tires. They're going to, you know, take out the trash. Whereas women is going to take care of the household. She's going to take care of the kids. She's going to cook. She's going to sew that button back on your shirt. With the understanding. Sometimes, when you assume the traditional gender role, the man is responsible for being the breadwinner. That's kind of like etched in stone. And it goes back centuries, you know. And just recently in the last, 40, 50 years, women have caught up and they have been able to... No. I'm not going to say caught up. Women for years, even as far back as hundreds of years, has been definitely holding it a house down, whereas they've been able to cook, clean, take care of kids, and go work a job. I've seen this as a little boy. So I know that women have definitely been able to work harder than men. You know what I'm saying? I'm not taking anything away from what women do as far as taking care of a home and going outside to work a job to help ends meet or to maintain a strong family. But in a traditional role, men are considered king of his castle. And that's only if he's leading. That's only if he's capable of being a king of his castle. If he know how to take care of a household, he know how to, you know, help spend money in the right way, you know, not be foolish and just, you know, not take care of his home. And yeah, he gets that title of king of his castle. Now, with that comes his queen. And it's not the king of his castle, it's not the queen of her castle, it's the kingdom that they both rule. And for some reason, that is one of the most difficult things for a couple to maintain and to uphold. Because there's always this tug of war of who's on top or who's the head person in charge. No, when you're on one accord, when you're on an equal level playing field, you both are in charge of your kingdom. Today's woman don't think like that. Today's woman think like a man. Which I don't understand, because if you're a woman, why would you want to think like a man? Are you trying to be a man? Do you want to go through the chains? Do you want to, belittle your man? Do you need a man? Because if you want to be the man, you don't need a man. Maybe you don't need a man. Maybe you don't need dick. Maybe you don't need someone knocking you out in the bedroom. Maybe you don't need, a male counterpart to help you take care of kids, take care of your house, to have the ideal traditional relationship. I don't have a problem with women thinking like a man. Only if the man they got ain't shit. If he's not doing what he's supposed to do, if he can't be the man, then yeah. In this world, you gotta survive. And if your way of survival is thinking like a man and doing what you gotta do in order to take care of your family, then ladies, hats off to you. Do what it is you gotta do. But if you got a man who goes to work, who helps take care of them kids, who will go to church with your ass, who will, pour some fucking Epsom salt in some water and let you soak your feet, who will get up and make you a plate for lunch, why would you want to think like a man? Why would you want to be like a man if you got a man doing that? Traditional roles. More and more men are choosing to stay at home with their children while their wives go to work. In some cases, this is due to economic necessities. In others, it's a matter of personal preference. Whatever the reason, these men are challenging traditional gender roles and redefining what it means to be a stay-at-home dad. The first time I saw a stay-at-home dad was Mr. Mom, Michael Keaton, in 1993, 1991, something like that. I never knew men stayed at home and took care of the house. I was bonkers. I was like, what? What's wrong with him? I thought something was physically wrong with him. Like, he was, you know, he had a disability, or, you know, he may have been a little slow. You know what I'm saying? I never thought that men, because the way I was raised, men were supposed to get up every day, go to work, and make sure that their house is taken care of. Hands down. Bring home the money to the wife. That's what I was taught. That's what I saw. Now, I'm not going to say I saw it all the time, but what I saw stayed with me as I got old and I had my family. So I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to get up and work and bring all three of my checks home to my ex-wife. And I get like $20, $30, $40 a pay period to the next pay period. And I lived like that for a while. Until I realized that sometimes men are stay-at-home fathers. Sometimes women want to get out there and make their own little cheddar. They want to be known as someone who can hold it down without having to depend on a man to give them a couple of dollars when they come home. And that's understandable. That's very understandable. You want your own little bit of money in your pocket. You want to have your own bit of savings. You want to have money for a rainy day. You may have a partner who spends excessively. And one of you have to save money. One of you have to be financially strong, have a financial strong mindset. So there's nothing wrong with women getting out here and holding it down and wanting to take, you know, the responsibilities of being the primary breadwinner. But she got to have a man who understands her role and understand his role and will not rock the boat. If that's what you agree upon, that, hey, I'm going to be out here working and you got to take care of the kids. You got to make sure food is on the table. You got to make sure that, you know, if you got to bless your girl, then you got to bless your girl. And then however way you bless your woman, you know what I'm saying? That's what you got to do and understand it and be okay with it. The new normal. A man's role in the relationship changes when he moves in with his partner, but it doesn't mean he's no longer head of the household. Now, it depends on the dynamics of the relationship. It depends on the agreement. It depends on the expectations of what has been set. Because some women can defer and let you sit at home and be the man. There's some other countries where men don't work and women go out and work 2 or 3 jobs while the man sit at home and take care of the kids. And everything is good. Everything is fine. Now, I'm not going to say that it's 100% good with everybody because I don't know. But the perception that I see or I get from certain situations, because I've worked with people who I've had conversations with, and they say, yeah, my husband stay at home. He's been a stay-at-home dad for many years. I've been at this job, 20 years? He's been at home for 20 years. And we work. Our kids are getting ready to graduate because he's been a stay-at-home father that has helped raise our kids to be to a point where they're able to go to college. So it is possible. But the thing is, you have to decide, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what's best for the family. And be okay with it. In most cases, when men move in with a woman, he becomes the caretaker and provider of the household. Even if he's not working. Now, as far as provider, that depends on if he's getting some type of disability or if he's getting some type of financial money coming through that door. Because if you're getting any type of money, any type of disability, any type of social security, any type of back pay, as a man who stays at home and help raise the kids, guess what? You're going to have to give up the bulk of your money. That's expected. That's like a no-brainer. And you may have to ride until you get paid again with $20. Now, it depends on the situation. If you're young and struggling, then yeah, that's pretty much how it's going to go. But if you establish and, you know, the woman been on her job 15, 20 years and, you know, she make decent pay, then you probably can get by having $100, maybe $200. You may not have to pay that much money for all the bills or fork over everything you got in order for you to have, you know, lights, cable, you know, the necessities of life. But as a man, and if you want to be considered as the caretaker and, okay, a provider, not the provider, because the provider is the one who take care of everything. A provider is someone that helps. So if you're being a provider that helps, then yeah, you're going to have to give up a good chunk of your money in order to help your woman out. Because she's out there and she's doing what she got to do, and you being a man who want to be considered head of the house, yeah. You got to show her, hey, babe, I know you out there working, I'm here doing this, but guess what? I got this $1,500. I'm going to give you $1,250. So we'll be all right. And be okay with it. That to me is the new normal. You know what I'm saying? If men want to stay at home and you know, be stay-at-home dads and husbands, and if you're going to get some type of assistance as far as money, you have to give up a lot of your money because that's expected of you. You know what I'm saying? That to me is the new normal. You know, the new normal is men staying at home, even though I've seen it since the 90s, but still, it's more traditional for women to stay at home. Financial contributions, pretty much what I just said a few minutes ago. Sometimes for men, it can be a hard pill to swallow if their woman's making more money, if they have to sit at home because of whatever reason, health, they can't find a job, whatever. If a woman is out, you know, taking care of the house and running it, you know, as far as financially, taking care of bills and, you know, making sure everything is okay, and your job is to stay at home and take care of the kids, and you don't have no money, then she's the primary breadwinner. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you got money, then you become... It's, even though... Okay, if you got money, if a man bring home money, and if it's not as much as a woman, it's still... She's still the primary breadwinner, but... The fact that you are contributing to the household financially, you get acknowledged. You know what I'm saying? Whereas if you don't contribute shit, if you don't clean, if you don't help with no money, if you don't help with the kids, then you ain't shit. You just a motherfucker, what is it, a leech. You just, you know, lounging, you know, splurging off your girl. You know what I'm saying? If you just play PlayStation 5, and scratching your balls, and yeah, your woman is the primary breadwinner. You have to eat that. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no getting around. And that, when a woman should think like a man, in my opinion. Traditionally, the man has been seen the primary breadwinner in families and has been responsible for providing for his wife and children for years. Now, when he moves in with his woman, he may have to share responsibilities such as paying bills and take care of the household children. He may also have to take a back seat when it comes to making decisions about such things as finances and house matters. Take a back seat. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. You got nothing to say. If you ain't contributing no funds, shut the fuck up. self-explanatory. And this can be frustrating to some who are used to having control over their lives and their families. A lot of men get frustrated if they're not in control, if they're not the breadwinner. I know some guys who actually got mad and broken up with women because they made more than them. I'm like, that's one of the most dumbest things I've ever heard. And I've never understood that. Because if you're working together, if you're equally yoked, if you believe in one another, guess what? It don't make a difference. We are together. We are building an empire together. So if who makes more money matters, then we can't build an empire. We can't be happy. We can't have a strong family. We can't be successful. Because you're tripping because I'm making $100 more than you? Come on. But a lot of people go through that. A lot of men, pride kills them. Kills them internally and just kills them, period. And when I mean internally, it just eats away at them to a point where they can't fucking function. They can't think that two people on the same wavelength can make it if a woman makes more than he does. That's not in their minds, that's not possible. I know plenty of people, I know plenty of guys who date or who are married to doctors and lawyers and successful women and are happy. No matter how much they contribute, they are happy. And not because she's the breadwinner, because they love each other. They found the formula to be happy. They found the holy grail to happiness, to success, to family, to raising kids, to going on trips, to having savings account with money in it. All because they understand their role. Even though the role may have changed, it's not traditionally what it used to be, it's still beneficial to us. Let me wrap this thing up, man. When it comes to a man moving in with a woman, he's going to feel like he's no longer in charge. You're going to have to share that power and responsibility. Plain and simple. You know, there's no getting around it. But how you handle it will dictate how the relationship is. How you support your partner and not give them something extra to think about will dictate how successful your relationship is. How you believe in the fact that you got someone that you can ride and die with, that you know if you got to go into a situation, y'all back and back and y'all fighting that shit out until there's nobody standing but the two of you. That's a successful relationship. That's when a king and a queen are running their kingdom side by side, equally, on the same level. And understanding that he's the king, I'm the queen, and this is our kingdom. And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and close out on that topic. I want to thank everybody for listening, everybody for supporting the platform. Thank you. Keep liking, sharing, and subscribing this joint, man, please. It's not about money. It's not about, you know, numbers. It's just, you know, me doing this, me talking on this podcast and just, you know, having my 30 to 40 minutes of talk time with people who actually want to listen to me. And I don't care if it's one person or if it's 100 people, I'm going to give the best content that I can. And now when it comes to the number, when I see that people do listen, when I see that people are, you know, tuning in to what I'm talking about, then that makes me want to talk about different things and to be on point when I talk. You know what I'm saying? So continue to support the platform, continue to listen, continue to, you know, just check me out on Wednesday and Saturday nights. And please, if you're new, check out the ebook Heart Seduction by J.R. Robinson, Barnes and Noble's online, Amazon Kindle, and other different digital platforms. If there's anything you want me to talk about, hit me up at whenhespeakserotica@gmail.com. And if not, you take care of yourselves, and I'll talk to y'all next week. Peace.